This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. A little later in the show, we'll be talking with Representative Mike Johnson about tax reform legislation. Also, Todd Starnes joins Tony to talk about another high school football coach being discriminated against for praying. But first, earlier this week, Tony was finishing up his trip to Egypt and Jordan, but he took a few minutes to talk with his guest host on Tuesday's program, the president of the National Religious Broadcasters, Dr. Jerry Johnson.
A group of evangelical leaders have been meeting in the Middle East with government leaders, and with us to talk about it, our own Tony Perkins, the host of Washington Watch, president of the Family Research Council. He's on the line. Tony, welcome to your own program. Where you been? What have you been doing?
Well, Jerry, thanks so much, and thanks for filling in hosting for me. I greatly appreciate it. It's good to hear that music again. It's been about 10 days we've been on the road.
It's like home.
It is. And I look forward to getting back behind the microphone. But I've been over in the Middle East, as you mentioned, in Egypt, in Jordan, heading back to the States tomorrow, looking forward to getting back. But we have been meeting with government leaders. We met with President El-Sisi in Egypt today, met with Jordanian King Abdullah, and, you know, had exchanges with him. But that wasn't the real highlight. The highlight was, and those were great. I'm very encouraged by what we're hearing from the leadership. Change is taking place in Egypt in particular, as President El-Sisi comes and is establishing order in the last 3 years. And we met with evangelical leaders, in fact, the entire leadership of the state of evangelicals. And they're very encouraged by what they see happening. Most of the violence there is by local governmental actors, not the national government. And, of course, the ISIS still, Muslim Brotherhood, and there's small cells of activity still taking place there. But good things happening. The big news is, Jerry, is that there's a window here, and it's seen throughout the Middle East right now where people are coming to know Christ. And there's refugees flooding into Syria in particular, some going into Egypt as well. But I have to say the Jordanian government is doing a tremendous job, and I'm going to talk more about this in the upcoming days on the program. But we went to one of the refugee camps, 80,000 refugees in this one particular camp. That's only 10% of those that are in the country. But the Jordanian officials are doing a great job of taking care of people of all faiths that are coming here fleeing the violence of Syria. And a lot of folks looking for hope, purpose, and meaning are turning to Jesus Christ. So it's a great time for the church to be bold and courageous, not only here in the Middle East, but all around the world, supporting them, praying for them, and helping them.
Wow, that is fascinating, Tony. There's so many ways to talk about this. I want to go back to Egypt for a moment, because you said there's change. The man in charge of Egypt before El-Sisi was a guy named Mohamed Morsi. I mean, this guy was actually part of the Muslim Brotherhood. So, I mean, he was sort of feeding the agenda of the Islamists, of the persecutors. I mean, I think they felt really free to do whatever they wanted to do against the church. What are you sensing from El-Sisi? I mean, this is a contrast, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, look, I don't want to overstate anything, because when we come over, our idea of religious freedom is much more genuine in terms of its
right.
full meaning.
Right.
And so you can't, I don't want to overstate what's happening, but I don't want to understate, because the trends are very positive. It is I would say, a 180-degree difference under El-Sisi versus the Muslim Brotherhood government that was in place. For instance, let me just give you a couple examples. Under President El-Sisi, the state is actually rebuilding some of these Christian churches that were destroyed.
Wow.
They're providing security where needed when there are threats to Christian churches as well. They are having conversations with evangelical leaders. In fact, the evangelical leader of the country, of Protestants, was with us in the meeting with the president, and he has met, I think, with the president three times in the last few months. And so they're having a conversation, and there's a genuine desire to allow for the freedom of worship. And that is, you know, and now I use that word intentionally. That's one of the issues we had difficulty with under the Obama administration. But you have to understand that is a genuine new freedom here, the freedom to worship in the church of your choice as you want. Now, where it comes down to the freedom of religion, you can still live your faith. But according to the 1948 Declaration of Human Rights, universal human rights is the ability, when it comes to religious freedom, to change your religious affiliation.
Yeah, to convert.
To convert. That is not a a fully experienced freedom just yet. Although, as I said earlier, many, many people of non-Christian faiths are coming to Christ during this time. But there's a lot of suffering here, Jerry, in the Middle East. Syria, I mean, we are seeing the greatest migration of people since World War II. And of course, I mean, take for instance Jordan. Jordan's population, they've taken in almost 2 million refugees in a country that was only about 8 million people to begin with. I mean, that's a huge influx. Their unemployment has shot up to anywhere between 20 to 30%. Their educational system is strained. And, of course, the American people, through our government, paying, helping them quite a bit financially. But it is a strain on society.
Folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Jerry Johnson, filling in for Tony Perkins, who is actually on the line with us from the Middle East. He has been with a group of evangelical leaders. They've been in Egypt. They've been in Jordan. They've been talking with government leaders. They've been meeting with Christian leaders and church leaders. And you know, Tony, I mean, one of the changes is actually that you met with El-Sisi. I mean, that wouldn't have happened with Morsi, with the Muslim Brotherhood. And obviously, you know, you were able to go and to feel safe. So, I mean, this really is an advance. And I think as Christians, you know, it's good to see, you know, what God is doing, as Blackaby used to say, and get involved in it. And with these refugees, you know, with ISIS and the Taliban, I think people in these regions maybe are seeing, all right, what kind of a world do you have with ISIS? What kind of world do you have with the Muslim Brotherhood? What kind of world are you going to have with the Taliban or the Muhammad way? And then what kind of world would you have with the Jesus way? And I think some of these refugees maybe have seen the worst of the Islamist, and this could be a moment when they're open to Jesus, open to the gospel, open to Christianity. What do you think of that?
There's no question. I mean, the curtain is being pulled back through the work of ISIS and Muslim Brotherhood. And it is a moment in time which I'm not sure will come back again. And it's also, I mean, yes, it's a time to share with people the gospel, but the way I think we reach them is through the acts of love and kindness. And I will have to tell you that there are those that want peace in the Middle East. And I'm talking about Muslim leaders like El-Sisi and King Abdullah, and the compassion. And, you know, James tells us in our faith, as Christians, that our faith is seen through our works. We don't earn our salvation, and I'm very clear about that. But if we're saved, we're followers of Jesus, the evidence will be seen in our works. Yes. And I think that speaks loudly. And the works of the Jordanian people, the compassion they're showing, speak to the fact that they do want peace. They do want to be an anchor in the Middle East. And look, this past Sunday was Pray for the Persecuted Church Sunday.
Yes.
And we were right here. We were actually in a refugee camp on Sunday. We've got to do more than pray. We've got to pray and see how God would lead us to be a part of solving many of the problems and bringing hope and help to people in a very real and tangible way.
Tony, we've got about 30 seconds. How could we pray for the persecuted church there, for the Christians there? Give us two or three ideas.
Well, one, I think we continue to pray for courage and boldness, that they wouldn't lose heart. We met with a number of Protestant evangelical leaders today in Jordan, and they're very encouraged, but look, it's a strain day in and day out. So pray for their courage, pray for their boldness, but pray that they know that they're not alone, and then pray that God would use us to stand with them, working for true peace that only comes through knowing Jesus Christ.
Tony Perkins, thank you, and come back and reoccupy this cockpit here at Washington Watch, but Godspeed as you continue your travels.
Thanks so much, Jerry. Look forward to being back, and look forward to seeing you again soon.
You can find out more about Tony's trip to the Middle East when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues of the day. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at the recently released tax reform legislation.
In 2012, a shooting attack took place at Family Research Council's headquarters in Washington, D.C. The gunman confessed to the FBI that he used the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map to choose FRC as a target for violence. The Southern Poverty Law Center, known as SPLC, likes to boast about its mission to destroy the groups it labels as hate groups, groups that include mainstream conservative and Judeo-Christian organizations. Be informed about SPLC at frc.org/SPLC to find out more.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. On Thursday morning, FRC President Tony Perkins got back home from his trip to the Middle East, and he couldn't wait to get back in the studio. And the first guest he had on with him was Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana to talk about the tax reform legislation currently being negotiated in Congress.
Mike, thanks for joining us this afternoon on Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you. It's a great day, and I hope there's not too much background noise for the next couple of minutes here.
No, I know a little bit about being on planes here in the last couple of days. I spent almost 2 days on a plane. But let's talk about this final language introduced today, this morning, and the repeal of the Johnson Amendment is complete. That's going on to the House floor. Increase in child tax credit, lower taxes on America's families. How does this package look to you in terms of the tax reform?
It looks really good. I think this is the delivery of a promise that all of us made to the American people that we would reduce taxes and dramatically reform our tax code. It's long overdue, as you know, been more than 30 years since we got this accomplished. And this is a big step. There's some great features in this bill. It's going to help every American family, and it's geared for the middle and working class, which is exactly what our priority should be. I think we're going to accomplish that.
Now, let's talk about the for a moment, the repeal of the Johnson Amendment. That was a 1954 amendment that Lyndon B. Johnson made to the tax code, which essentially has become a muzzle on churches and other nonprofits. That is going, there's a trigger in the bill that will remove that.
This is historic, Tony. It's been 60 years since LBJ put that in the code, and you're exactly right. It's had the effect of censoring and silencing the pulpit and people of faith over all those years. And this was a historic move today. I will give all the credit to Chairman Kevin Brady of the Ways and Means Committee. He brought a manager's amendment today, and among the things that he fixed was this. He's added it in. So there's a specific language. They have adopted whole cloth, our Free Speech and Fairness Act language that we filed earlier this year. It is now part of the tax reform package. It's going to be a great thing. It's going to unleash the voice of the church to speak to the important moral and social issues of the day again. And I think it could be a seismic thing for the whole country.
Now, Congressman Mike Johnson, I was having conversations with some of the GOP leadership while I was in Cairo and then later in Amman. There was some idea or move to restrict this simply to churches, but there were some constitutional issues with that, and so we are back to that original language. Address that issue of they were trying to narrowly craft it just to churches, but that would be opening it up to challenge.
It would, and, you know, as I had lots of discussions on the Hill this week about that. As you know, my background is I was a former religious liberty litigator for 20 years, and I did these cases. I tried to explain to leadership that that would actually be counterproductive because, you know, it's an age-old rule in our federal jurisprudence. The government can't favor religion, can't show hostility towards religion either, which is what we see so often, but it can't favor religion. So if you singled out religious organizations and not the other types of charitable and nonprofit groups, it would be constitutionally problematic. So I'm grateful the leadership recognized that. Chairman Brady, in his wisdom, has decided to draft our original language that we filed in February in the standalone bill, the Free Speech and Fairness Act. It's now part of this tax package, and I think it's going to be a great thing for all of us.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Yes, it's me. I'm back behind the microphone. Our guest, Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson. He's on a plane working his way back to Louisiana. Mike, let me also address this issue of talking to members of the Senate. The Senate's going to push forward its own bill. This is going to end up in conference for the two chambers to work out the differences. The Senate in particular saying that they're considering a one-year delay for the cut in the corporate tax rate. And the stock market is responding in a negative way to this. Where do you think that aspect of this reform package is going to end up?
I think that's a terrible idea. I think that what we promised was real tax relief and immediately. I mean, I think that much of the gains in the stock market and the way the economy has been humming along right now is in reliance upon the fact that we're going to fulfill these promises we made on the campaign trail last year. The corporate tax rate is the highest in the industrialized world. It's 35% and higher on an effective level for most. Our plan is to bring it down to 20% and to do it now, immediately upon passage. And I think that would be a turbo boost to the economy. It will lead to the creation of more jobs and bigger paychecks for everyone. It's what we need right now. And delaying it for a year, I just don't think that's going to get the job done. I hope that cooler heads will prevail, and I hope we'll get our original plan done.
Now, Congressman Johnson, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is being driven by the CBO score, the Congressional Budget Office, which has a track record of being totally unreliable, suggesting that some of these cuts are going to cost too much, and that's forcing the GOP to take steps in this tax bill, which could actually jeopardize the overall health of the tax reform measure.
Well, it would, and I think that we are right to rely upon dynamic scoring and the fact that this will boost economic growth, and the growth is how we're going to climb out of the debt. The growth is how we're going to pay for all this. We get the economy humming. You know, we're currently hobbling along around 3% economic growth. When they did this back in the 80s, they got it over 7%. I mean, if we double our economic growth rate, it will mean all boats will rise and these problems will solve themselves. And I think that we have a great reliance upon that, the free market and these principles. This is how we're going to fix the economy and put us back on the path we need to be on.
Well, as you go back, it's to the dynamic scoring to take into consideration the effects of these changes, and that's not what the CBO is looking at.
Right, exactly. And I, you know, the CBO has, as you said, a checkered past in being able to accurately predict things. I think we can rely upon the voices of the people in our districts. I mean, I talk to small business owners every day. I talk to the leaders of companies, and they tell us, Mike, if we can keep more of this and not send all of the revenue to Uncle Sam to squander in Washington and the swamp, we will expand product lines. We will add new businesses and more jobs. We'll be able to pay our people what they deserve. That's what we need in this economy, and we're going to make that happen if the House's health, tax reform plan is realized, and I think we're on the way to getting that done.
Now, I know, Mike, you got to go. The plane is fixing to take off, but one final question. Do you think the House and Senate will be able to work out their differences and settle upon a bill that, as you said, is real tax reform and has the desired impact of fueling our economy and bringing relief to families?
I'm very optimistic that we can, and the reason I say that is that this is different than health care reform and some of the other, you know, failed efforts, because everyone recognizes we must get this done. And I think that the Senate, I mean, ultimately it will fall at their feet. I think that they will get this over the line. Ultimately, probably it winds up in a conference committee where the differences are worked out, and we deliver this thing to the president's desk, and hopefully he can sign it before Christmas. It'd be a nice gift for the American people.
I think you're absolutely right. It would be a good thing to be under every tree. Mike Johnson,
right.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate you, Tony. Keep up the great work.
You can find out more about the tax reform legislation and Representative Mike Johnson when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, helping you stay informed on the issues that matter to you. You can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we come back, another shocking religious liberty case with Todd Starnes.
The family is at the heart of our economy. It is the greatest generator of knowledge, attitudes, skills, and habits of the individual. The vast majority of small businesses begin as family businesses, which then go on to become the even bigger generators of wealth. Family Research Council believes that federal policymakers should take action to help moms and dads better provide for their children through tax reform. To learn more about our family-friendly tax proposals, visit frc.org/taxes.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Well, on Thursday, Fox News commentator Todd Starnes stopped by the studio to talk about a Georgia high school football coach from Coweta County who has been ordered to stop praying with his team before, during, or after a game following the receipt by the district of a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Here now is Tony Perkins.
Catching up on some stuff in Georgia. The school district there has ordered football coach to stop praying with his team before and after a game, and even from telling him he can't even bow his head. This all coming from a threatening letter from, yes, you guessed it, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Writing about that, of course, I keep up with him wherever I am in the world because I know he has his finger on the pulse of religious freedom in America, is our good friend Dr. Todd Starnes, who is here at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Baton Rouge for the Caring to Love Ministries Gala. Todd, welcome.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tony. This is a lot of fun. This is your neck of the woods.
It is, and you can see I'm dressed as if I'm in my neck of the woods.
Yeah, I'm dressed like I should be back in Brooklyn. So I'm going to have to take off the tie and work on that, get some hip waders or something.
Yeah, I'm good. I got the cowboy boots, jeans, but I will be in suit and tie for tonight's event. Hey, again, welcome to Baton Rouge. Glad to have you here for the annual Celebrate Life Banquet and Gala with Caring to Love Ministries, keynote speaker tonight. Give us a what are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, we're going to talk about where we are in the country right now on that issue, the pro-life issue. I just got finished reading the collection of speeches from Antonin Scalia. His son had those compiled, and I was reading some of those speeches he delivered on pro-life on the plane ride down here. So I'm going to share a few thoughts from that, and we're going to talk about some of the big issues that have been in the news lately regarding the pro-life pro-life issue. And quite frankly, the shooting in Texas, the massacre at that Baptist church in Texas, there's a pro-life story coming out of that. There had been a lot of concern. People were wondering, well, what about the woman who was pregnant, expecting a child? Or would they include that child in the death count? And in fact, they did. The state of Texas did that. And it was quite a poignant story. We're going to tell the story about that woman during tonight's speech.
Well, I, obviously, watching from that, I woke up to that news in Amman, Jordan. Of course, it's coming out. This guy was an atheist. Hatred toward the church, hatred toward Christians. Isn't that being fomented by groups like this Freedom From Religion, that every public representation of Christianity is now open to attack?
Well, I think there's an argument to be made that that is the case. So the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they want to bully Christians into silence and submission, and they intentionally target small towns and small communities. And you know, there's been a lot of talk over the past couple of days about prayer and whether or not it's appropriate for our lawmakers to pray for the victims. And we've heard Democrats in the mainstream media and Hollywood criticize those who are praying for the victims. But I think people need to step back and understand that what happened in Texas is not God's fault. Quite frankly, it's the government's fault. The government screwed up, and they, for whatever reason, and I'm sure the investigations are underway in the Air Force, but they botched this guy, the handling of this guy's case, and he was able to get the weapons that he used to slaughter all those people. So, again, I think you have to put things like that in perspective. But back to your question about the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they really are fomenting this hatred towards people of faith. And they're targeting, Tony, they're specifically targeting Christians. And I know they say right. They don't, but when you look at the wealth of the evidence.
And it's primarily in the South.
Primarily in the South, primarily small towns that right. either don't have the financial resources to fight the fight, or they just capitulate because they don't know their rights under the law.
Now, this latest case, I mean, what they do is they send these threatening letters, and what the school boards generally do in this case, in Georgia, this case is...
Coweta County.
The school board, capitulate, and they say, all right, we're not going to do this anymore. But that sends a message that somehow this public display of faith privately, but on a public stage, is somehow unacceptable in our society.
That's right. That's what they said. And the school board, what happened was they had a spy. The Freedom From Religion Foundation had a spy in the stands. They videotaped the coach praying along with his players. I think he had his hand on the shoulder of one of the football players, and that was the sin in the eyes of the atheist. So the school board put out an edict, and it was very similar to the edict that was handed down to Joe Kennedy, the coach out in Washington right. State, Bremerton. And they said, look, you cannot bow your head, you cannot take a knee, you cannot do anything that would give people the impression that you approve of the students' religious activity.
But you can take a knee when the national anthem is played.
Yes, you can. You can take a knee to disrespect America, but you cannot take a knee to pray to the Almighty.
If you want to find out more about Todd Starnes, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on the donate button. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.